Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you because your word is true. Your word brings light, brings illumination to the simple. We approach your word this morning. Our hearts and our minds are open to be educated, to be taught, and to be instructed in righteousness. And as we receive your word, Lord, we ask that your word will do an internal and eternal work in our heart. Lord, I pray that you anoint my lips, that I should speak as I ought to, and their heart so that they will receive as they ought to, and that the blessing that comes with doing will be their portion. Because as they leave this auditorium today, they will be living with insight, knowing what to do, how to do, where to do, and with whom to do, what to do by the Spirit. In Jesus' name, and the church says a big amen. All right, turning your Bibles to the book of Romans 15 and verse 4, I want to begin a new teaching with us today. It's a four-part teaching that I've captioned, Going Through Temporary Places. Going Through Temporary Places. Romans 15 and verse 4 is a major scripture that I want to read to you. Romans 15 verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." The Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through comfort of scriptures might have hope." So you see, the word of God is not just a book to indoctrinate us, but to also set for us a blueprint of examples in our journey on earth. So there are people who have gone through what you are going through, what you would go through, because there is nothing new under the earth anymore. And you can glean examples and lessons from those examples that you will live by. So you know how the people who went through the same thing you're going through now, how they were able to scale through the word of God. So you see, the word of God will give you such wisdom. And you see, in this life, there is something you have to know, that your life is in phases. And you would always be journeying through some places at some time to get to where God wants you to be. So you require wisdom from the word of God on how to carry yourself and how to behave yourself, how to carry yourself and respond to the variables that certain things, certain places will bring your way at some point in your life. So we're looking at going through places, going through temporary places. The fact that it is temporary should in it first pour like a cold water in your heart. You know, on your journey in life, there will be some unpleasant times, but they are temporary. So we would always have to pass through a temporary, dissatisfying time in our journey to God's dream for us. But you see, repeating scriptures is wisdom that we can find and lessons that we can learn from people who have gone through such situation. And a very good example is the children of God in the wilderness, the Israelites. God has promised them this, you know, land flowing with milk and honey, and they're going to go there. Ultimately, they're going to go there. But you see, there is a lesson that we can learn from them. How exactly does God want us to condone ourselves in temporary places? The children of Israel were going to go to the land God promised them. God took them out of Egypt from the tyranny of Pharaoh. Now, he opened the Red Sea for them. They went through it on dry ground. Now they are in a place that you could call wilderness. And this wilderness is not their destination. But their response to that wilderness gave birth to a lot of things that was not in the original plan of God for them. I mean, the Bible tells us, you know, Moses said, "Your Lord, your God has brought you out that he might bring you in." It wasn't God's plan to make them stay in the wilderness for any reason. But you see, as the occasion will have it, they are going to spend a little time in the wilderness because out of God's mercy, he never wanted them to pass through a shorter way. So he made them pass through the way of the sea instead of the way of the Philistine, because they knew if they see war in Philistine, they're going to go back to Egypt. They'll be tempted to go back to Egypt. So they went through the Red Sea. Now they're in the wilderness. And this wilderness, God in all of his mercy ensured that all the natural, features of environment that should be hazardous to them, was God already prepared a cushioning palliative ahead of them. For instance, in the night when it ought to be very, very cold, God gave them fire. In the afternoon, when it ought to be very hot because the humidity will be very low, the humidity will be very low because the precipitation in the wilderness is so low, so poor. Sometimes it can be less than 100 millimeters per annum. I mean, some places in rainforest in Nigeria, you have as high as 3,000 millimeters per annum, precipitation per annum. So desert, no water. The air is dry. And do you know what God did? God gave them air condition. Imagine as hot in a season like this where we are in Cape. Imagine having a house that you are having air conditioner. Not all these two units is air conditioner. I mean, the one that's blowing on you like this, 2 minutes you're falling asleep. God gave them AC. And this AC was moving with them. The Bible says they had the pillar of cloud by the day and of fire by the night. In the night when they ought to be cold, if you study science, you would know that there is something in science that they call a conventional flow of heat. Especially if you do physics, you know what I'm talking about. It explains why your well water is very warm in the morning and it is cold in the night. It's called conventional flow of heat. You know, there are several kinds, and some of those heat, sometimes if it's coming from a long distance, all right, it can form rain. There are different kinds of rainfall we call cyclonic, orographic, relief, right? Frontal rainfall. Am I correct? I had an A in my geography, glory to God, when I was in high school. Praise God. Of course, I did so well in geography because I focused on it. I wanted to be in the military, and it's a criterion, you know. But unfortunately, I am where I am. I am what I am already today. Praise God. But you get it. So, in the night, the desert is chill, it's chilling, it's cold. So, while they were in the wilderness, there is an attitude that God expects of them. There's an attitude that would cause them to not just stay long in the wilderness, but also suffer the challenges of the wilderness. So it's all about an attitude. Let me read to you from the book of Numbers 14 and verse 2. Numbers 14 and verse 2. Oh, going to temporary places. I want to give you how to maximize transient times. You know, going to temporary places, I want to share with you 4 powerful things. I'm going to share one now, the other one in second service, and the rest I'm going to share with you next Sunday. So make sure you come next Sunday as well. Come with a notepad, writing materials. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Can you imagine? Then verse 3 goes on. He says, and yet, wherefore had the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? You see why God didn't let them pass through the way of Philistia? Because they will have gone back all the way to their garlic and cucumber. And this teaching can mean different things to different people. You know, I have a lady friend of mine. She's in approaching late 30s. She isn't married. She's one of the most brilliant lawyers I ever knew growing up. I mean, called to bar, but because the situation of the country is so terrible, at some point, every time she's always tempted to go to cut corners with sugar daddy, she will call me to report herself. She said, Pastor, I'm losing it again. I'm almost losing it again. My bills are piling up. And I have these 1, 2, 3, 4 guys dangling some stuffs before me. What am I going to do? There was one time, like I told my friend, I said, you know what we're going to do? Let's just get a few funds and send to her just for her to be feeding for a while until the next miracle. We have to stay fasting and praying. She said, man, Pastor, I'm losing my mind. She's in Lagos. She said, I'm losing my mind. So all of those times, they were just temporary moments for her. Just to see. And if she would just hold through, if she would just hold on through and realize that the morning is now, and the morning is near, the joy is near. You see, but the problem is many can't see. Even Jesus, the reason why he had so much courage to stand all the suffering was because he saw the glory. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 12, he says, Jesus, who for the glory ahead, he endured the shame, the pain, for the joy ahead. That was the motivation. You see, something very brilliant you're going to realize about God is that the process of him taking you to where he wants to take you to is as much as important as the place he's taking you to. In the kingdom of God, the end does not always justify the means. And that's what, I mean, if you are a Nigerian, you agree with me, that's what we're going through right now. You know, a particular presidential candidate was literally educating ministers of the gospel on national TV. Ministers of the gospel, he was educating them. Because they said, well, it's the will of God, it's the will of God. Well, whoever approaches or whoever eventually is elected, selected, is the will of God. And he says, no, that process is criminal. To be called excellency, the process must be excellent. And that is just much like our God. Listen, you know, there was a song I learned, you know, some years back when I was still younger. A particular musician, he says, imagine, say, you know, they play lotto, you still they drive correct moto. I don't know if you remember that song. Imagine, say, you know, do my go, take off not for a jackpacko. Oh, imagine, say, I go die one day, but my name goes today. In Jesus, I believe, now because you believe. Do you remember that song? In other words, listen, I don't have to cut no corners to get to where God wants to get me to. If I must be determined that, you know what? Whatever God wants to get me through to, and I'm ready for the wilderness experience too. If he's taking me to Canaan and he wants me to pass through the wilderness, I'm going to comport myself. I'm going to have the right attitude. I refuse to be taken down in my imagination that tomorrow is not going to be brighter. I refuse to let what I'm going through to dictate or give me a picture or to give me some sense of, you know, not being able to get through. I'm going to get by because I know it doesn't matter how long the nights may be. Joy comes in the morning. This is the attitude you have to have in the wilderness. Because at some point in every area of our lives, there's going to be that moment when you are journeying in between where God used, where you used to be and where you ought to be. But the problem is, the kind of song we hear now is, Jehovah Shab Shab do one for me now, Jehovah Shab Shab do one for me. It's problematic. Look, there is nothing that lasts that is usually rapid. I'm telling you. You have to go through the process, the right process. So, let's go on. Let's go on. I'm just trying to give you, I'm trying to build a case for what I want to share. I've not started sharing. An origin of Israel murmured against Moses. Go to verse 4. We're in verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Can you imagine? Like the lady I spoke to you about who called me, she was already saying, you know what, I'm losing my mind. Like, I want to go back to Egypt. It's like the swine is trying to go back to his vomit. Because of the pressure, the anguish, the problem that going to temporary places brings. When you're going to temporary places, naturally, your human natural response is bitterness, to murmur, to get into anguish, weeping in despair. It's usually the natural response you want to give to the challenges that comes when you're going to temporary places. But the problem is, and this is a big issue with humanity, we forget so soon that we are no longer where we used to be, even though we are not where we want to be. We forget so soon that the same God that parted the Red Sea, I'm not too big for him to take care of me in this wilderness while he takes me to Canaan. We forget so soon that, you see, and it's a big issue with mankind. So much. And if you don't know how terrible this is, Scripture says, look, God is not unrighteous to forget the labor of our love. In other words, forgetfulness is unrighteousness. It is. We forget so soon. No wonder David had to educate his soul. He says, why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquiet within you? Hope thou in God. You see, David at some point in Psalm 103, he says, look, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit. Forget not all his benefit. That means, because you see, it is human nature to forget so soon. How he came through for you 2 years ago. Our memory is long, it's too short-termed. We have a very short memory as human beings. We forget so soon that there was a time that you didn't have no cupboard in your house and God took care of you. You forget so soon there was a time that you and your parents, all you were believing God was for your school fees and God came through. You forget so soon that there was a day you were stranded. You received a call from nowhere that helped you out of that problem. You forget so soon. And that is the major problem right there, forgetfulness. So in the wilderness, while going through temporary places, the first instruction I want to give you today is never murmur. Don't yield to the temptation to murmur. Don't yield to the temptation to murmur. You don't know what happened to them. Look at verse 10. And Moses, Aaron fell on their face before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Come on, go on with me. Come on, go on with me. Verse 6. He says, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. This is Caleb and Jacob and Joshua, beg your pardon, the son of Jephunneh. They're preaching to the people. They're preaching faith because people's hearts were fainted. They brought the 10 spies have come with, you know, bad news. Out of 12 of them, only 2 came with good news. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. They want to stone them. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all children of Israel. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me? How long will it be? Hell, they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them. God is literally presenting a case before Moses. He says, how long will these people believe me? How long will they tempt me? Have they forgotten so soon all the miracles I performed in Egypt just to deliver them from Pharaoh? Why are they now murmuring in this temporary place? Why can't they just stand their ground? Why can't they just have a good attitude? Why have they forgotten so soon how I parted the Red Sea before them? This is a big issue with mankind. We forget so soon that God came through for us yesterday. All of a sudden, the excruciating pain of yesterday has disappeared. We can no longer endure the simple temporary pain of today, irrespective of how assuring the prophecy of a better tomorrow is. We still can't hold through. What is wrong with mankind? Forgetfulness. No wonder David had to pray. He says, look, He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Sometimes you have to take the initiative to educate your soul. And all it takes for you never to forget or to never murmur is to call to remembrance. Just call to remembrance the goodness, the faithfulness of God in the years past. The faithfulness of God. Look at verse 34. Look at verse 34. Look at what it says in verse 34. He says, after the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. So they spent 40 years that was not necessary. That's what murmuring does. You see, young people, you came to stay with an aunt or an uncle. The natural plan you should have is to not be expecting to eat 3 square meals. What's your problem? Now you are picking offense because your uncle is not feeding you 3 square meals. Oh, is your life he came, Abby? What's the problem? You came to stay with an aunt. Can't you see that the aunt too is just being nice, just being good to help you? Can't you see a bigger picture? Declare a fast. I've stayed with someone before, and I noticed the circumstance and everything. I fasted for 100 days. And even as the food gets depleted in the house, I give money again every month to support the food in the house of that family I stayed with. That family that I stayed with, that I'm talking about, that was where I stayed. It was in that 100-day fast the Lord visited me and spoke to me about Kefi expressly. Of course, he spoke to me about relocating down here, but Kefi specifically, in clear terms, it was in that 100 days. So imagine what I have missed if I had murmured and say and fought those people and go back to the south and said, what is all this thing, the way they are treating me in this place? I lived inside the parlor in a 4-bedroom apartment. The person that received me into the house had no issue with me. It was his own brother that came to stay with him that was giving me, that was a thorn in my flesh. I'm telling you, because I've passed through these things. So this, I'm not showing you some theory things here. How to comport yourself when going through temporary places. A lot of people, they just self-destruct. They get into murmuring. They let their joy die off. But once upon a time, God came through for you. How about that? If he did it before, he can do it again. If he has done it before, he will do it again. Once there is life, there is hope. Why are you going to cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward? Why? Because of these temporary things? What is it about? Does it change anything? Some people, the only reason why they are sad is because they have just one shoe. They can't just get over thinking about it. They just squeeze their face. Now they have wrinkles along the lines of their head. They become older than their age for unreasonable reasons. It's only rice person eat all the time. Do you know some people looking for that rice? That rice you complain about, some people are looking for it. You've been so ungrateful. There was a time you were praying, oh God, please, please, oh God, just help me. I know, oh God, just help me for this one. And it came through. All of a sudden, you've forgotten all those times. Wow. How unrighteous you have become. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Because this is a lesson. The things were written for our learning. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. This is the first thing you must, when you are in the wilderness, when you are going to your temporary places, don't refuse to yield to the temptation to murmur. Because when you murmur, listen, when you murmur that way, you are literally building up an environment that is toxic. And toxic environment will always give birth to satanic oppression. In 1 Peter 5 verse 8, if you remember, from verse 5, it says, look, cast all your worries on him. Oh. You see, when going through temporary times and seasons in your life, refuse to yield to the temptation to murmur. Refuse to yield to the temptation to be ungrateful. All it takes is to call to remembrance the good things God has done for you before. Otherwise, if you begin to exercise yourself in murmuring and then you begin to weep in despair, you are building up an environment that will become so nice, so incubating, so accommodating for demonic activity. That's why 1 Peter 5, Apostle Peter says, look, cast your cares on him for he cares. Then the next verse, he says, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, roaring around, looking for whom he may devour, whom you resist steadfast in the faith. Why did he connect it? Don't forget, scriptures are not in verses and chapters. That means the moment you allow an environment of murmuring, of anguish, regret and all of that, not calling to remembrance the goodness of God in the last year, in the past month, in the past week, you are literally going to get to a place where you start getting to self-pity. Then from there, you start calling a pity party. From there, you start going into despondence. Before you know, you just say, you know what, I'm tired, I got to kill myself. I think I'm suicidal. You see, you've all of a sudden started engaging and embracing wrong thoughts. Many people end their life that way. That's why the writer, the preacher says, look, he says, the living dog is better than a dead lion. I say you should give me 1 Corinthians, right? 10 verse 6. He says, now these things were our examples. Someone say our examples. Say it louder. Say it again. To the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Do you remember? He's talking about the children of Israel. Those things were written so that we can learn from them, so that we won't make the same mistakes they made. On their way to the promised land, they were in the temporary place and they murmured. And look at the things they did. Look at verse 7. Look at it. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, these people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed. These are the evil things they did in the wilderness. And fell in one day 23,000 people in one day died. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Let's go on. Verse 11, come on. Neither murmur ye. Somebody say, well, I'm not doing no fornication. Somebody say, well, I'm no another later. Well, somebody say, how about this? Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. See, when you murmur that way, you are literally calling God an unrighteous God. You are literally saying, God, you are unable to help me out. You are literally saying, God, man, you flopped. God, that's what you're doing. They were written for our examples. Jeremiah 2:32. See, it's a big issue with humanity. God said, look, can a woman forget her child? He says, yet you guys have forgotten me many times. Look at it. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Have you ever seen somebody who on her wedding day, she forgot her attire? Like, they say it's wedding night now, and then she's coming to the pulpit, coming to the church, and she says, I forgot to wear my gown. No, I say, ever happened? I mean, you know, Mrs. CBK, did you forget wearing your gown? Before anything, the first thing my wife started telling me when we were in courtship was, my gown. She said, my gown. That's almost the most expensive, about the most expensive thing I bought, along with the ring, my gown. So, if a woman, do you get what I'm saying? I'm not using all the gown. It's fine, right? It's fine, right? You see, they say it's fine, you see. I spend money, I try. Can a maid forget her ornament or a bride attire? Yet my people are forgetting me days without number. It's a big issue with God when you forget him. Do you notice that the only major instruction God gave them when they were entering the promised land was, God, you see, as if God knew that man is plagued without disease or forgetfulness. God knows that man is in the natural, you see, God knows that inbuilt in man's nature is that plague of forgetfulness. So when he was going to take them to the promised land, he says, look, don't forget. Don't eat so much that you'll be so full, and one day you wake up and you forget that it is God that made thee, and it is God that giveth thee the power to make wealth. He says, don't forget me. God knew they would forget him. Let me show you a few scriptures so that you can know what I'm talking about. Look at the book of Deuteronomy 6 and verse 10. Oh, time is far spent, man. I don't know who goes to that clock anytime I'm preaching. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. Something you didn't build that God brought you into. You were from, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not. God was intentionally writing this down to remind them that he didn't dig this thing. You met it, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full. Verse 12. Then beware. Somebody say beware. Beware. Say it louder. Beware. Are we together in this church today? Say it again. Say beware. He says, beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He says, beware, lest thou forget. God, I can literally feel the heart of God. I can imagine God. It was just, God is literally saying, see, I've brought you guys. It's like you're helping someone. I'm like, man, this guy is going to forget me, but I'm going to do it anyway. And now he's about to cross over to where you're helping them. He says, don't forget me. And everything God wanted is just, look, he wants you to acknowledge him. The whole question of tithes, first fruit, offering, all these things, it's about not forgetting God. It's about acknowledging God as your source. It's about saying, God, I honor you. I wish I had time to show you. In Deuteronomy 26, he told them, in fact, God told them the things they will say when they bring their first fruit and their tithes. He says, you will raise it up like this and says, for our father was a Syrian, going to perish. But out of your mercy, you delivered our father, and now you brought him to that great place. God was intentional. He wanted them to rehearse it so that they will never forget that, look, God is always reminding them, don't forget, I brought you from nothing to something. Because there is danger in forgetfulness. And the danger is it breeds murmuring. And the problem of murmuring is murmuring creates an environment that will attract to you things you never expected. Things like serpents. Serpents began to bite them. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto my fathers to give to us. Verse 4. And the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. Talking about the tithe, the offering that you have brought. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. It's like you're coming to God by saying, I am nobody, O God. You made me somebody. There was a time you were applying for jobs. Applying every day, every day, every day, nothing, nothing, until one day you got it. Now you've gotten it now. You now got that job now. So when it's offering time, you are always, I want to collect our money again. But there was a time you didn't have no money. When you were young, you used to pray, my head, my shoulder, my knees, my toes, they all belong to Jesus. Now you are grown up. They say evangelism. He says, nah, I can do that. No, I need to go and touch my nails. So you could touch nails those days. It's a big issue with mankind. We forget too soon. Even in human relationship, you've forgotten there was a time someone helped you. Now you are bigger than them. But now you have become so big, nobody can call you to order again. There was a time you were small. Some people, it's even their parents. Now when you get a call, you kick at the call. What? You literally just ease. Hello?
This morning they want to ask me again.
Really? Where were you when somebody was packing your poo-poo? You see, we just forget so soon. Can I be honest with you? I have personally concluded that the reason why people murmur and they have become ingrate, all it takes to snap yourself out of that stupid situation is to call to remembrance the faithfulness of God. If you ever see somebody who always called to remembrance the faithfulness of God in past years, they are always joyous. Look at it. Deuteronomy 6, 8 verse 11. Let's see 8 verse 11 as well. Oh, I'm running out of time already, and I still have so much to share. Let me run now. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Can you see that? That thou forget not thy Lord, thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statute, which I command thee this day, verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, you now have plenty money, and everything you have is multiplied. Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. You see, it's a major issue with God. It's a major issue. Because God's glory, he will share with no one. God wants to be glorified and sanctified in your well-being. See, God wants to look down from heaven and say, wow, 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 wow. That's Elijah Amuson, wow. One chopper, two private jets, wow. 1,000 branches of churches all over the world, wow. That's Elijah. And then he looks and then he zooms the camera from heaven and he sees me rolling on the floor, still worshiping him. So that's my boy. That's my boy. But when God looks down and he sees the rich fool saying, I will tear down my barn. I will create another one. And I will build the barn and I will increase it. And I will tell my soul rest. Then God will say, fool, this day shall that your soul be received from you. And we will see whose all those things would be. You remember that story in the book of Matthew? And God is not going to eat the food, the gari, cassava, agbado. He's not going to eat all those things. He just wants to be glorified. Look, let me ask you. See, it's like, let me ask you something. Look up, look up. What will it cost that there is a supreme being that created me? He wants to make me rich, make me bold, make me successful, make me become all he planned for me, and all he wants for me to just keep saying, God did it. Excuse me, please. Who? Just telling God did it. Is that her? She can now. You see me in my Lamborghini and I say, God did it. And just God did it is enough. God, I want more. Because I keep saying, you did it. Amen. He just wants you to never forget. Dangers of forgetfulness. I close. Job 8:11. Job 8:11. He says, can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? Whilst it is yet in its greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the path of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web? You know spider's web?
Let me show you the scriptures. Hosea 8 and verse 14. I have so much. Let me just give it to you, then we close. For Israel has forgotten his maker. Look, let me tell you. You know, I'm starting to read the Old Testament again, as I often do every other year. And I see this thing consistently. My heart breaks me. My heart breaks me. I just say, wow. Let me tell you. I was reading the book of Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua in a couple of days ago, all together. And at some point, you know, because I have a challenge. When I read any literature, my imagination switch just goes on. Like, I just imagine I'm acting the movie. Like, I literally see myself whenever I'm reading the Bible. Like, I feel, I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Like, I put myself, you know, I do the role play. And I was doing the role play of God. Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. You know what? At some point, I felt like entering into the story and going to give all of them smash down. Like, are you kidding me? I parted the Red Sea. Is that not enough a sign? Look at all the plagues I brought upon Pharaoh. Now you are murmuring for just meat. What is too big for me to do? Huh? You couldn't wait for 40 days for my servant to go and bring the law for you. Now you are already making yourself a captain. You are already stoning Aaron to make a calf for you. What else again do you call stiff-neckedness? And I found out that there was just one thing that was consistent with them. They have a very short memory. And so how do you... Look, listen, it's in human nature. It's in human nature to actually forget that God once came through for you. And it's a big issue with God. It's a big issue with God. So I admonish you today. Learn to chronicle the goodness of God on a daily basis. Learn to chronicle how God has come for you in different times. Have a journal of God's faithfulness. Have a journal. Have a journal. You see, where you just go through them and just say, Lord, you did this for me. There was a time when I could not afford a pot of soup. Now I can go to a restaurant and eat well. Lord, I say thank you. Just cultivate that habit of giving thanks. Hosea 8:14, it says, for Israel has forgotten his maker and built their temples, and Judah had multiplied fancy cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the places thereof. Do you know what it means? Like, Israel now, they've built temples. Judah has multiplied fence. That means now, they now, have you seen people who, they trusted God so much until they traveled out of the country? Now, they have money, and now they have common headache. They won't, just to say, in the name of Jesus, ache be gone. Then they pick a drug and drink. Now they don't believe that, I don't need to pray, man. I don't need to pray, man. Man. Very soon you start calling man like a goat. Listen, people just all of a sudden, they begin to trust in human systems. He says, when you have built and multiplied fences, that means now you have a lot of security, insurance. And that's the problem. You know, there are some things that I don't want to say because I don't want to sound like I'm angry with the outcome of the election. See, look. I don't have beef for anybody, you understand what I'm saying? But look, for some of you, I'm sorry to say this. For some of you, Nigeria is a temporary place for you. So now, how do you stay in this Nigeria in this certain number of years and comport yourself? No murmuring. Don't go and start writing epistle on Facebook against the country. This country. Look, any country that you always murmur about, you can't prosper in that land. Everyone that murmured in the wilderness, they all died. In fact, God said, look, as you have rehearsed in my sayings, in my hearing, so I will do to you. Numbers 14, 28. And guess what? God told Moses and Aaron, say, go and count from 20 years upward. All of them, they will not enter. They all perished in the wilderness. So your first response, while you are going to temporary places, is that refuse to yield to that temptation to murmur. Call to remembrance. Refuse to forget what God has done before. Somebody say, but there is only to sing about. Well, borrow a song from tomorrow and sing it now. If you truly believe God will come through for you, borrow a song. The song you'll have sung in the future, when you eventually see that thing happen, borrow it now and sing it now. If there's nothing to sing about now. Let me stop here. But were you blessed already? Refuse to murmur. Look, your problems are not real. It's a mirage. The subject will change. Don't make it big. God is good. Let your soul know so. It's okay. Your spirit acknowledges, but does your soul actually align with that truth in your spirit that God is good? And it won't jump on your soul that way. You have to educate your soul. Listen, God is a good God, man. Man is a good God. You gotta know this. And you gotta educate your soul. Sometimes you gotta talk to your soul. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you disquiet within you? Up down in God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Man, don't forget his benefit, man. He forgive all my sins, man. You can start thanking God from that. You can start talking about, well, he redeemed me. Just go 15 minutes. Lord, thank you for redemption. Oh, brasto super kit and the keys. Live from among the haze. Colo pratne shit na brade. 15 minutes. You take it. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Maras kondi shilafra. By the time you do that for 1 hour, you see your mood will change. Joy will come back. Start thanking him for eternal verities. Give thanks. Lift your hands. Give thanks. Listen, refuse to murmur. I'm going to show you 4 things. Number one is refuse to, don't yield, because look. I wish I had all the time to give you practical examples in real life, in my life and life of others that I've studied. Look, whenever it looks like everything is dry, behold, it is not actually dry. It's a test on your attitude, your response. The problem is not what you're going through. The problem is how you respond to what you're going through. Your response is all that matters. And that response is what depicts what you are actually made of. It makes no difference how much of lip service you say that, man, I trust God, man, I believe I'm a man of faith until trouble comes. Or until there comes a time when everything looks so bleak. How do you respond in those moments? Will you murmur or will you call to remembrance? Will you call to remembrance what God has done? This is so crucial, and it's a big issue with God. Remembrance is something you should do all the time. Just call to remembrance the goodness of God. Look up, church. A believer is when you choose to stand on the word. See, standing on the word does not mean you put Bible on the floor. Then you say, I stand on the Bible today. No. See, when you say, you know what? I understand all these things are facts. But guess what? Whose report will I believe? I will believe the word. The word of God says the path of the just. Don't you ever say, oh, gone are those old good days. No. Your path is upward and forward only. Upward and forward. Accept it, believe it, confess it, think it, act it, walk like it. Are you hearing me? Dress for the job. Believe that what the word of God says is your reality. Mm-mm. Don't you think about the old good days. No, there are no old good days. There are only better days. better days ahead of you. You believe it. You hold on to it. Say, but pastor, I used to eat chicken sometimes. Now I'm drinking Gary. How can you tell me your parameter for measuring good days is wrong? It's wrong. It's wrong. That's a wrong parameter. It could be that you are in temporary place. And there are things you should be doing in temporary place. That's what I'll be sharing in this teaching series. Were you blessed? I want somebody with so much ecstasy, with so much fervor, to rise up and give the Lord a crazy I want you to literally barrage, like I'm giving you 1 minute. Like just go. Are you still watching? Just higher. Wait a minute. He saved you. He put his spirit within you. You have a hope of immortality. Come on! Rejoice! Now begin to call to remembrance of the things he has done. Just call to remembrance. Just thank him. There was a time you needed to write common entrance. Common entrance to university. There was a time you needed just 5,000. He made it possible. Can you just give thanks? I want you to call to remembrance. Just call to remembrance. The other time he said, Lord, just do this for me. Do this and I will praise you. And he did it. Can you just call to remembrance those times? Oh, Likapaton Salido Shilaman Taligon Taridis Talamagada Dodashta. There was a time that you were sick in your body, almost like you would die. They put you on some drugs and you say, Lord, I don't want to experience this anymore. And he came through for you. Can you just call to remembrance his goodness? Can you just think of his past goodness in your life? Just call to remembrance.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.